Greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be together again, be encouraged by being together. It's an important part of our lives. And so we're glad to see each one of you here this morning. Well, this morning normally would have been a rotating schedule, and my brother Victor was on the schedule to be here, but they just had an addition to their family 2 weeks ago, and so it didn't seem appropriate. It seemed appropriate that we would let him off, and I was called upon. So we also have an assigned subject this morning, knowing that we're working through the Christian virtues and the decrees. And so I'll read what the decrees has. And this morning's message is on the principles of the virtue of honesty. Honesty, Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Personal holiness involves honesty in speech and business life, bearing false witness. Deuteronomy 19 and Proverbs 6. Spreading false reports, pretending we are something we are not, and denying things we are guilty of. 2 Kings 5. Justifying the wicked and condemning the righteous, and all deliberate misrepresentations are an abomination unto the Lord. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, verse 8. This is what we have in our decrees written about honesty. And I guess as with all the Christian virtues, we're kind of on some sort of a scale. And we try to be as much like Christ as we can. But none of us are perfect. And so whenever we look at a subject like this, and you look at your own life, and you try to determine how honest or dishonest you are on a subject like this, it can be hard to preach on because none of us are perfect. And there are some people that are very detailed in their lives, and I think probably those people, you know, given that kind of a temperament, may find it easier to be honest because they are given to details. Some of us aren't given to detail, and we still try to be honest. I also find a flip side to all of that is the people that are given to detail are often very hard on other people when they're not. And those that are not as much given to detail maybe struggle with honesty more often, give more room to other people. Looking at honesty, we're talking about honesty and dishonesty. We're talking about truth and lies. We're talking about integrity or deceit. We're talking about trustworthiness or trickery. How old is this subject? Right back to the Garden of Eden. Right back to the devil himself, trying to deceive people to believing that he was more important than God, and that they didn't have to believe God because he was going to open their life up to a much bigger dimension. I like to look at two stories, first of all, to illustrate honesty and dishonesty, well, probably more dishonesty, really. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. And there's quite a few, so I had a lot to choose from. But 2 Kings chapter 5, we read this recently in our family devotions, and it kind of jumped out at me again because I hadn't read it for a while. And oftentimes we look at the first part of the story more. And I'm going to tell you more of the first part of the story, and then we'll read the part that talks about honesty. But the story is about Naaman when he had leprosy, and the little maid told him that there was, the captive maid told him that there was a prophet back in the land of Israel that could heal him. And so they sent and went back. He told him to go. The king, whoever it was, told him to go, and they went to the king of Israel, and of course he was scared to death because here was someone expecting something of him that he couldn't do. And they sent them on to Elisha. And Elisha told him, well, Elisha didn't even tell him. He told the servant. Servant, you go out there and speak to him. And he went out and spoke to him. And he told him, go down and wash in the river 7 times and you'll be healed. We remember that story. And at first, Naaman turned around and headed for home. And then his servants prevailed upon him and said, this is a simple thing. Why can't we do something simple? We would have done something hard. Let's do the simple thing. I guess he was expecting to buy his healing when he came, as we read the rest of the story. Verse 14 of 2 Kings 5. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh became clean again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. This is talking about Naaman and Elisha, I believe here. Elisha said, No, I won't take it. And he said, Yes, you must take it. But he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given unto thy servant two mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord God, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now here's the part of the story I want us to really think about. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, and he said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, the first lie, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from the Mount Ephraim two young men of the servants of thy prophets. It's another lie. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. He wasn't giving it to them. He was giving it to Gehazi. And Naaman said, Be content. Take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garment and laid them upon two of his servants. And they bare him before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from his hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. Another lie. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. It's quite a story. Talking about honesty or dishonesty. How does God feel about honesty? We get a very clear picture in the story. Now, this man knew he was lying. There was no question. For some reason, he said, As the Lord liveth, I'll run after him. He knew what he was doing. But he went after him, and he took these things. He made up a story, and I have no idea what he thought he was going to be doing with them, because he was Elisha's servant. And sooner or later, he was going to have to wear this or spend this or use this, and Elisha was going to wonder where this came from. But he coveted, and he lied, and he took it. Turn now to the book of Acts. There's another story here about dishonesty. Acts chapter 5, remember this story quite well. This happened in the New Testament day. God feels pretty strongly about honesty today as well. But a certain man named Ananias, Acts chapter 5, verse 1, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart while thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard these things. What a shocking story. Every time I read this story, I think about my own life and the dishonesty I've had in my own life along the way, many times along the way, really. One of the first sins that we commit as a child, we lie. One of the first things we do, we're greedy right near the beginning too, but soon after we can talk, after we realize there's going to be consequences for our actions, I think most of us have tried to lie out of it, and hopefully the consequences will go away, only to find out the consequences get worse. And when children don't learn that, it gets quite bad going into adulthood. But this story often shocked me. You think about God's swift judgment, and I'm not exactly sure why he did that so swiftly. But these men, this man and his wife, knew exactly what they were doing. They weren't deceived. They knew that they sold this land, and Peter said, while it was yours, you could do with it what you want. And they decided to make it look good to everybody else, but also make it feel good to themselves. And they kept it. Is there any question how God feels about honesty? Is there any question? Is there any question that dishonesty is a sin? Well, honesty is simply telling the truth. There's a lot of different definitions of honesty. And there's a lot of people call some things black lies or white lies. Is there such a thing? A lot of discussion about honesty and integrity in today's world, because everywhere you go, people are trying to take advantage of the systems, trying to take advantage of the employer, trying to take advantage of the government, trying to take advantage of the customer and make things better for themselves. Dishonesty is a huge problem. But we need to tell the truth, speak the truth, show the truth, and sometimes not withhold the truth. Is a part of honesty. Why is honesty so important? I have a couple of reasons written down here. First of all, God is a God of truth. Honesty is one of God's attributes. And if we want to be godly, we need to be honest. It goes right with it. Honesty and godliness go together. Number two, why is honesty important? Because honesty is the first step to salvation. The first step to salvation is to admit that we have a need in our life. That's the first step that we take. We have to look at our own life and say, I have a problem. I have sin in my life. I need to do something about this. That's the first step. And without honesty, we don't take that first step. And the devil tries to make us deceived as long as he can and give us lots of reasons why we don't need Jesus and why it's okay if we're dishonest. It's a hard thing to do. It takes honesty to confess our sins. So it takes honesty to become a Christian. Third thing I wrote down here is that honesty is a foundation. Honesty is a foundation. It's a key ingredient to success. If we want to be honest in anything, if we want to be successful in anything, we need to be honest, because honesty builds trust. Honesty builds trust. Do you trust someone that you know has lied to you before? Well, maybe if it was a long time ago you did. But if last week you made a covenant with somebody, an agreement with somebody, and they didn't keep their side of the agreement, you probably won't trust them this week when they want to make the same agreement. Honesty also builds respect. That's why honesty is a foundation. The more someone's honest, the more respect we have for that individual, the more we trust them. Another reason that honesty is so important is, fourth one I have written down here, is that honesty is a lot easier than lying. It's a lot easier than lying. Lies come so quickly off our lips. Why do I say honesty is easier than lying? Well, you have to think about the consequences. of lying. Honesty suddenly becomes a lot easier. A friend of mine recently was subpoenaed to testify. He was supposed to be a witness. He witnessed something that happened, and he was called to court to testify for it. He was extremely worried about it. What am I supposed to say? And I told him, I said, just tell the truth. Just say exactly what you saw. You have nothing to worry about. Say exactly what you remember. Then you don't have to remember what you said, because you will remember the situation. You remembered it very well. What happened? Just say what happened. That's all you need to say. You know, if we tell the truth, we don't have anything else to worry about. Sometimes the truth hurts, but it's good for us in those moments. We'd have nothing to worry about. We've all heard the expression, be sure your sin will find you out. It's also found in the book of Numbers. But it's the truth with dishonesty. Dishonesty will be found out. And if we're truthful, we don't have to worry about it. Honesty and dishonesty both have consequences. Hence the expression, probably have all heard, that honesty is the best policy. I've heard people say that. It's a good quote to remember. Honesty is the best policy because we believe in a future, an eternity future, and honesty in our life will affect that. I like to look at a number of different aspects of honesty in our lives. I think I have 5 different ones written down here. Some of the different practical areas, and we'll bring in some of the different Bible verses as we go about honesty. First of all, I have honesty before the law. I'm thinking more about the courts of law today. And it is of utmost importance that we tell the truth when you're called to go before a court of law today. In fact, there's a crime for it. It's called perjury. And that is a crime whenever you go before a court of law and you promise to tell the truth and you don't. And we see a lot of politicians getting caught up in this, where the problem that they were called in to testify of probably wouldn't have sent them to jail, but it makes them look bad. And so they lie about it, and soon the truth comes out, and they find out that they were under oath and they lied, and there is a penalty of jail time for that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, you can turn there. Jesus talked about this. And again, ye have heard it that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And often when we think of swearing, we think of bad words. Swearing here is adding, and people do use that to add emphasis to what they say. But here is when you have to swear to add emphasis to your word so that people will believe that you are telling the truth. And Jesus says here, in my own words, he says, the Christian should be known for his truthfulness to the point that he doesn't need an oath to be trusted. We should be so honest that we don't have to give an oath or say something under oath to be trusted. If we say yes, it means yes. If we say no, it means no. And we don't have to ask. We don't have to say it under oath for it to be true. Honesty with the law. Honesty with the law also goes into obedience of the law. And there is a lot of laws. And they are increasingly detailed to the point where they may even contradict themselves, but it should be our goal to obey everything that we can. It's not our goal to get away with everything that we can. And that can be a problem with people today, is let's look at the consequences, see how bad they are. Okay, I can handle that. So that means it's okay if I am disobedient or dishonest. We should make it our goal to be honest in every way that we can. The second point of honesty that I have here is honesty with ourself. And I wrote ourself as two words, honesty with ourself. Romans 12, verse 3. We already talked about this a little bit. We said that honesty is a key ingredient of salvation. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He says here, don't think of yourself more than what you should. You need to be honest with yourself. Do we tell ourselves the truth? That's one of our big problems. We think we are important. We think that the world should revolve around us. And that's not the truth. But if we keep telling ourselves something that's not true, if we're not honest with ourselves, it's going to lead us into all kinds of other problems. This is where deception comes from. When people get deceived, it's because they're not honest with themselves, not honest with the truth. Honesty with ourselves also keeps us sane. Keeps us from going crazy. It actually helps our mental health exceedingly when we are honest with ourselves. You know, we quickly set ourselves up to be the center of everything. This is us, and we think everything should revolve around us. That's what we think. Here we are, and everything needs to go around me. Everything needs to fit into my world. And everybody should jump when I say jump. And life should go how I want it to go. That's what's going to make me happy. We need to be honest with ourselves. It's not true. The fact of the matter is, I'm going to put here. And you know what? We should be rotating around God. Not everything rotating around us. We need to have our life centered around God. Think of it as a solar system. So you know what else I'm going to add? While we are, and this is others, while we are rotating around God, we're just the moon. We are rotating, at least if you believe the, if you don't believe the flat earth theories. God's in the center of our universe. And we're rotating around God. And while we are serving God, we are serving others. We're rotating around others. I like that little illustration. It shows us how we can be honest with ourselves. We are here to serve other people. And ultimately, serving God, serving other people. We are more of a moon than we are the sun. A lot of times we like to think we're the sun. And we're the middle. And we're important. And other people need us. And we can put so much truth and light into other people's lives. But actually, the opposite is true. We need other people more than they need us. You want to set yourself up for lots of anxiety and stress? Keep telling yourself that everybody else ought to be treating you better. You deserve better than this, and life isn't fair, and so on. You set yourself up for all kinds of problems. It may partly be true, but it's not going to fix anything. The whole truth is that life is far better to us than what we deserve. And any little good thing that happens to us is still much better than we deserve. We are blessed. And we ought to be blessing others. And that's where the true blessing comes from, in serving others. And we should tell ourselves that criticism in my life can be useful. It can make me better and learn from it. That's why it's important that we meet with other people, that why we go to church, why we have a brotherhood. Why we're going to have brothers meeting. We need each other. It's going to help us. The third thing I have here this morning is honesty and treatment with other people. And this is a big thing in our world today. Race is an important subject. And it's hard to know how to relate to. You can say one little thing wrong and ruin your career. It's hard to think about where it came from. But there's a number of verses I want to, and I'll just read them for you. Honesty and treatment of other people. Romans 2, verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. God treats everybody the same. That's an aspect of God's honesty. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. If we could just be a little more honest in our relationships with each other. Treat everybody the same as much as possible. No matter where you came from, what you have or don't have. It's pretty easy for us if someone has a lot of money, a lot of resources. We want to show them more respect. Someone comes from somewhere important. We show them respect. And it doesn't matter. Everyone is worth God's time. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And also John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Every soul is precious in God's eyes, regardless of what body is housing it. Doesn't matter. Every soul is precious in God's eyes. And it's pretty important in our world today that we give a straightforward answer to these questions. Number four, fourth subject we want to look at here is honesty with our children. Do we tell the truth, or do we use fear to control them, or deceit to control them? If you disobey, monster's going to get you. What do we use? Do we trick them into obeying? Let's not fall to those tactics. And there's a lot of them that are taught, a lot of them that we will do. Do we tell them the truth when they ask questions, or do we try to distract them? And it especially becomes important as they become teenagers. Do we teach them why we do what we do? Or do we just say, we ought to do it because the church says so? That's not really being honest. We don't do it because the church says so. We do it because the Bible says so. And here are the verses, and here are the reasons why. Honesty. When you meet someone on the street, do you say, well, yeah, that's our culture? Or do we say, here's the Bible verse, and this is why? Honesty with our children. Are we also honest when we say this, and willing to say sometimes this is our tradition? You know, you won't really find it in the Bible, but it's our tradition. It's our way of life. It's something that has served us well. And so we're going to keep doing this well. This is the reason why. Or do we try to make them feel that their salvation depends on it, so you better do it? No, let's remember to teach them it's a good thing, and teach them the reasons why. Whether it is culture or whether it is Bible. What about our children's needs? Parents, are we willing to admit that our child is not perfect? We see it happen too often with parents where we stick up for our own child, but we're hard on other people's children. We're guilty of that. I know some of us here are guilty of that. Do we immediately defend them when there's a teacher or some other authority figure that comes into our life and says, hey, it looks like a problem here? Our first response is, oh no, not my child. We don't do our children a favor. We need to be honest that our child does have an evil nature, and it is likely that they could have done that. They could have sinned. That's their first nature. We don't teach them to be realistic with life when we stick up for them all the time. Because life is difficult, life is unfair, and life is hard. And the sooner we teach them that unfair things can happen and we just need to accept them, the more adjusted they'll be for life. Fifth subject I want to look at this morning is honesty in business. Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Would have been a good theme verse for this morning's message. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now the word provide means properly to think or meditate beforehand, to make it a matter of previous thought, a settled plan of design. So he says here, provide for things honest in the sight of men. He says, make it a plan ahead of time. Make it a thought ahead of time. Be intentional about it, that when something happens, you're going to be honest. This direction would make it a matter of principle and fixed purpose to do that which is right, and not leave it to the fluctuations of feeling or to the influence of excitement. I like the way one of the commentators put that. We're going to make it a purpose to be honest, and we're not going to leave it to the fluctuations of feeling or the influence of excitement. And those two things can make us be dishonest. We get in the heat of the moment and we become dishonest. Now, this verse was given in the context of mistreatment. Recompense to no man evil for evil. And that is what happens. When someone's evil to us, immediately we want to be evil back. Get into a business deal and someone doesn't treat us fair, well, then it's okay to make it up somewhere else. That's how we feel. And I understand there's a certain amount of that you do if you had a difficult customer to please, that you may charge more next time because you know it's going to take more energy to be able to make them happy. But to change partway through, I've always never felt right about giving a bid on a job, getting started into it and saying, oh, I need twice as much. You're going to have to pay me. I had that happen to me once, looking for something to be done, and he told me, oh, it'll be $1,000. He did the job for me, sent me a bill for $2,400. It's hard to forget those things. Was that being honest? Was that being fair? How often have I done that to somebody else? It'd be better for us to get into the project and realize, I know all our work is different, but realize partway through that it's not going to work, and maybe not charge them and not go back. Tell them, look, I underbid this. I'll do as much as I can. I'm not going to charge you for this, but I can't make this work. That would be better than to charge them twice what you said. Same direction is given in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21, providing for honest things, not in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So it's very similar to what the other verse is, but this is talking more about the use of our possessions, the right way of using our property. And he says, not just because God's watching, but also because of men. Do the right thing. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And that's not the only place it says it. A lot more places we get this teaching in the Bible. But the earth is God's. And the sooner we come to realize that what we have is God's, the easier it's going to be for us to be honest with what we have and fair in business. Because it's not ours anyway. It's God's. And God wants us to use it to lead people to Him. One of the quotes that I came across was this thought. Truth exists. Only lies have to be invented. I thought about that for a while, and there's a lot of truth in that. Truth exists. Truth simply is. You don't make up truth. Truth is. Lies are made up. And I remember when Brother Leo was here, he used to always say that truth has time on its side. Truth has time on its side, because the longer time goes, the sooner it is that a lie is going to be found out. But with truth, it doesn't make a difference, because our sin will find us out. I want to read a story here yet in closing. Children will like this story. Honesty. Once upon a time, an emperor saw that the end of his life was near and decided it was time to choose a successor. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a good moral. He had no wife or next of kin, so he chose to pass the throne to one lucky child in his kingdom. So he summoned children from all parts of the land to present themselves at the castle. When the children arrived, he gave each of them a single seed, saying, I want you to plant your seed. Give it water and take care of it. Exactly 1 year from today, return to the castle with the plant that you have grown. The child who grows the best plant will be the next emperor. A year went by, and it was time for the children to return to the palace to show the emperor what they had grown. Now I forget how to pronounce this name. Jael, I think is how it said. Jael did not want to go with her empty pot, but her mother told her to be honest about her failure. Dejected, Jael returned to the castle and stood at the back of the throne room. She waited to be judged. Oh, I missed the one sentence. I think I missed the one paragraph. One of the lucky children who received the seed that day was a little girl named Jael. She ran home and carefully planted the seed in a pot. Every day she watered and cared for the seed. Soon after, other children began to boast about their beautiful plants. But Jael's pot was still empty. The seed hadn't grown. A year went by, and it was time for the children to return to the palace to show the emperor what they had grown. Jael didn't want to go with her empty pot, but her mother told her to be honest about her failure. Dejected, Jael returned to the castle and stood at the back of the throne room. She waited to be judged. The emperor entered the room and walked from child to child, admiring their beautiful plants. Tears streamed down Jael's cheeks. The emperor eventually stood before Jael and her empty pot and asked for her name. Jael, she said. Where is your plant, Jael? Hanging her head in shame, she told the truth. I watered the seed every day, Your Highness, but it would not grow. I failed. Suddenly the emperor's voice boomed through the room. Behold, your next emperor. Her name is Jael. Silence swept over the room as the emperor explained. 1 year ago, I gave everyone a boiled seed that would not grow. Only Jael had the courage to share the truth. She will lead our country well. I thought that was a good story to illustrate truth. You know, if you boil a seed, it's not going to grow if you heat it too much. And he gave all those children a little seed like that and told them to go grow it and bring it back. Put a lot of pressure on them to have something really neat for the emperor. When they got there, most of them had lied. Only one person had told the truth. Now, for the adults, are you ready for this? As human beings, as friends, as teammates, many of us feel the need to sugarcoat the truth about our experiences. We imagine that if we consistently show others the beautiful plants we have grown, then perhaps they will trust in our experience. But perhaps, strangely, the opposite is true. When we share our truths openly and honestly, not only do we build a trust with others that opens doors to deeper relationships and improved communications, but we also make it easier for the people we spend our lives with to be open and honest with us, which makes all of time together better and more authentic. Think about that. How often do we want to show the beautiful plants that we have, when in reality we know that we're a whole lot more of a failure than what we like to admit? Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we kneel before you. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us together in this way. Thank you, Lord, for being personal, helping us to think about our soul that will live on forever. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Jesus for when we break this covenant. But Father, Lord, this morning we just want to again plead that you would help us to be honest with our lives. Help us to love this virtue. Help us to protect it. If we've sinned in our lives, help us to be honest enough to share it. Lord, help us not to be put on a facade and be a fake. Make it look like everything's going well. But help us, Lord, to tell the truth. Father, I pray that you would bless the honesty that you see. Pray that you would bless the individuals who walk in truth. You make truth a part of their lives. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to remember that we can always start over. We can always ask for forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. We can always move out in truth. Lord, I pray that you bless each one of the little ones here as they grow up, that they would learn this truth, that they would be able to learn what a failure lies are and how far they take us from blessing. Pray, Lord, you'd help us to teach it. Help us to use honesty in our child training. Help us to use honesty as we go out in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be honest in business, even when it hurts. Lord, I pray that you would bless us. We go forth, that we wouldn't just act to our neighbors that everything is well, but that we would show them, we'd be honest with the sin problem that is in this world. We wouldn't just be nice to our acquaintances that we meet, but that we would also talk about Jesus and the need. Help us to be honest with salvation and with people's sins, needs, and what it takes to have a home in heaven. But all paths do not lead to the same destiny. Lord, help us to love this virtue and to make it a part of our lives. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.